With that, we got one more guest, one more segment here for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. We talked college football national championship game. We talked all four wildcard weekend matchups in the NFL. So a lot of good stuff here on this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. I'm joined by Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Well, getting back in the swing of things, of this thing that we call work. Bowl season kind of winding down, which, you know, is kind of, you know, it's kind of sad just because it's kind of fun having, you know, the volume that we get on these bowls and back-to-back games and stuff like that. So kind of sad in that part. But then the flip side of that is that, you know, the NFL action is going to be fantastic for us. So that's great. And, you know, from a bookmaking perspective, I obviously really enjoy the NFL playoffs simply because it's still, for me, it's just team A versus team B. I don't have a team that I'm rooting for or anything like that, but just having, you know, a standalone game early Saturday, standalone game late Sunday, Saturday night, and then the same thing on Sunday make great for us in terms of, you know, the more concentrated your betting action, the easier it is to, you know, to manage your risk. So I like playoffs for that reason.
Don't mislead the listeners, man. You know you're upset college football's over because it means college basketball's in the spotlight, and we all know how you feel about that.
Yeah, we love the grind of college basketball season.
All right, so we're going to talk for a few minutes here about Clemson and LSU, and obviously we'll have a lot more to report next week once we get some more activity in this line. Of course, we'll talk more about some of the sharper prop bets that are out there too. But in getting to this point, Clemson covers as a favorite. LSU easily covers as a massive favorite. Couple of poor outcomes for you guys and really for a lot of sports books out there.
Yeah, that Clemson line, I had hoped and I had the feeling, because I had taken some, you know, respectable sharp money on Ohio State, I thought the number was going to come down to two, maybe 1.5, and hang around between 1 and 1.5 and work itself out there. But it got bet right back up on Clemson, and there was a lot of public money on Clemson as well. So that result and just the whole way that all that game went for us, you know, was kind of left a bad taste around here. Ohio State too, you know, if you look early in the game, like, you know, at the half or whatever, you just feel like they should have had a whole lot more points than they did. And of course, you know, kind of the second half just, you know, went south on them. And of course, LSU, I mean, you know, you look at that number with LSU, I think that like the lowest opening number was like around 9.5 and it went up to 13.5. And so that's obviously never a good sign for us in terms of all that action being one-sided like that. And of course they blew away Oklahoma.
All right, so what does it mean here for the national championship game? Game 283-284, Clemson and LSU, as mentioned. LSU took some early money in this one, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look out there and sometimes the opening numbers are a bit misleading when you see, you know, these numbers and how low some of them open. But it's like, well, you know, I see LSU -3 as like the lowest opening number out on the board. But I mean, we opened it, you know, along with everyone else, and we opened at 5.5. So maybe it was like a misleading 3 where you took one bet and boom, you were 3.5. They took, you know, small bet to 3.5, boom, you're at 4. And it got to 5.5 really, really quick. I've been 5.5 almost the whole time here. So I've got just a ton of action pretty much at the number where it is right now, which is good for me in terms of I don't have really, you know, any risk on any low numbers like, you know, 3 or even 4. You know, again, college football, I've talked about in the past, we're not really, you know, we're not really concerned about key numbers. 3 and 7, yeah, you might want to keep those in mind, but you don't really, it's not like NFL, you don't kind of hold on to those key numbers quite as much. I do have, you know, some exposure on LSU -5 and even more, of course, at 5.5. So, you know, it's just really, really one-sided action for me at 5 and 5.5 on LSU. My wager count on the side is already 4-1 favoring LSU. The only thing kind of like the positive light I see out in the market right now is books that had been at 5.5 are either using like 5.5 dog 15, or I even see saw a 5 pop up there today. So I'm hoping that this number kind of inches its way back down, because I've got nothing but LSU action so far at 5.5. So the way it is right now, you know, I could kind of hang maybe 5.5 longer than other books, try and get a bit of money back there and balance the action at around 5 and 5.5 and see where it goes. But so far, just all one sided, like I said, a count of 4-1 favoring LSU. The over money as well is about 3-1 favoring the over. So this number has ticked up from it's only moved a half a point here in house from 69 to 69.5. I'm just going with the market right now. So it's kind of ticking its way up. And, you know, you're looking at these teams. I mean, the problem for for us, I guess, with Clemson games all year long has just been the opposition. I mean, they didn't have a very tough schedule. They beat Virginia, you know, very easily. And until they beat Ohio State, they really hadn't been tested. They did win that game, of course. But, you know, the flip side of that and kind of the easy narrative you want to convince yourself to bet LSU is that, I mean, they beat Florida, they beat Auburn, they beat Alabama, they beat Georgia, they beat Oklahoma. I mean, they just beat a ton of good top-ranked teams. You can't say the same about Clemson.
Now, again, when we talk about this game, we talked about this throughout the week here on the show already, coming into the bowl season, Clemson probably a 1.5, maybe even 2-point favorite, if not higher, in this hypothetical matchup here. Now the number 5, 5.5, and even, you know, higher than that at some of the places out there. Do you feel like the 5.5 with juice is sort of trying to protect against sharp money, or do you think that there is actually a little bit of sharp buyback out there now?
My feeling looking into things is there has been some sharp buyback on Clemson. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, we've talked about before, you're throwing a number out there that, you know, what you want to do when you throw the number out is first off, you want to get the number that encourages the most action, and you want to do that where you can still kind of manage risk and you, that, you know, keep that game within your risk profile that you've, and be relatively balanced. You're never balanced on a game, but be relatively balanced. A big game like this, obviously, we're just going to have a ton of action, and we've got a lot of time to balance our books as well. So you don't want to jump the gun too early. And as soon as you see, like I said, that, you know, some of the, you know, books that I respect out there, seeing them going 5.5 and dog juice from 5.5 flat, or even from 5.5 down to 5, the only reason for them to move that way would be sharp action.
Now, one of the things that we talked about again, and something you and I talked about before we started recording here, I mean, this is basically a version of the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, it's obviously the national championship for college football, but also the extensive prop betting catalog for this thing. I know you're not necessarily on the prop side, but, you know, how does that process sort of come together to put all those different player props out there, the game props, team props, all kinds of entertainment stuff? How does that process sort of come together to get everything posted and out there and ready to go?
Well, I mean, it is a lot of work, and you're right. It's very, very similar to what we, you know, have on a Super Bowl. The nature of this game is that, you know, it's kind of like the standalone game on Monday night, and there's really no competitive markets out there to go against it because all eyes are on this one big game. So, and also, I mean, every year it seems we've got, you know, the marquee names to build the props around and stuff like that. Obviously, Burroughs is going to get a ton of action. I'm sure you're going to, you know, we're going to find a lot of interesting props with respect to Burroughs. And it's a matter of coming up with our own stuff and also going out in the market and seeing what's out there, seeing what works and gets attention. I mean, you're not going to put up every, you know, kind of what you might call silly prop up there, but you're looking at stuff that you think is going to get action. I mean, you don't have to just throw something up there for the sake of throwing it up. You want to find stuff that people bet. And also, you don't want to kind of put so much up that you kind of dilute the markets and have no chance of balancing anything. So it's a whole lot of work. And like I said, the stuff with Burroughs and the quarterback here for Clemson as well, Lawrence, the same thing. We're going to have lots of fun stuff on that. You know, team totals and all that kind of stuff. You're basically just working with your spreads and totals and stuff like that to come to those. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why that stuff doesn't come up too early is because those numbers get massaged a lot throughout the week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, and we'll transition over to the NFL in a second here. But as people are hearing this, 10 days away from the national championship game, do you sort of have an idea maybe of when some of those things start to pop up on the board? Is it like, you know, next Friday, next Thursday, something like that?
Yeah, I don't think we would have anything up before Friday of next week. It's just, I mean, there's just so much going on with this game. And of course, we're still in bowl season and stuff like that that's getting a lot of our attention. And to be honest with you, you put that stuff up too early. People might like to look at it, but you know, no one's really betting, you know, player props on Thursday for a Monday game.
Well, it should be interesting, especially because, you know, a lot of people do love to attack the prop market, especially as it pertains to the Super Bowl, because a lot of times that Super Bowl line looks like the tightest number of the year, both side and total. So the props give you a lot of opportunities. And, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more next week. We'll talk about it with a lot of our guests too. You know, you can do the props a lot of different ways. You can load up everything on one side. If you think LSU is going to win and cover, you can play Burrow over, you can play Jefferson over, Edwards-Helaire over, or you can use those props to kind of sort of pseudo hedge and kind of balance your risk a little bit as a bettor. So a lot of stuff goes into those, not just for the bettors, but also for you guys. So I know it's a labor of love and a lot of stuff going on, but it is something that's really, really good, I think, for both sides to have that many opportunities.
Yeah, and too, if you've got an idea in terms of like playing the props for, you know, for profit, not just for fun or hedging and stuff like that, and you kind of have to, you know, look at the narrative information on the game and kind of like in your mind. I mean, a lot of people, I think you don't want to be too basic and say, well, okay, LSU's the better team, I'm going to bet them. But how are they going to get there? How are they going to, you know, a lot of people kind of begin with the end in mind. They think, okay, LSU is going to win. How are they going to do that? And you kind of break it down that way and say, okay, I see this guy, you know, he's got a matchup advantage and stuff like that. Game flow, you know, plays a lot. Okay, LSU is going to run out to an early lead, so they're going to run the ball a lot. You know, what have you, stuff like that all the time.
All right, so we move over to the NFL side of things here. We'll hit on all four games. We'll tell you where there's sharp action in some of these wild card weekend matchups. Game 141-142, Buffalo and Houston. 2.5 with extra juice, pretty much the market-wide number here with the Texans, a home favorite.
Yeah, and it's seemed to be working for us. I mean, there was an early tick down from Houston -3 to where we are right now. Most books are either 2.5 -20 or 2.5 -115. You know, the threes have gone, even like 3 dog 20s gone right away. Count wager wise, almost dead even on this one, which is real nice. The total has ticked up in house from 41.5 to 44 where we are right now, and I just think that was, you know, a properly, you know, corrected adjustment up to 44. I think this number is probably going to work right now. You know, it's interesting when you look at this game. I haven't heard a whole lot about the, you know, the stuff with the quarterbacks making their debuts here. And you've got, you know, both these games on Saturday. You've got Tannehill, who's, you know, making his road playoff debut, or his playoff debut on the road. And same with Allen, this is his first playoff start and he's on the road as well. And I think sometimes that's got to be, you know, factored into people's minds, and it just really hasn't got a whole lot of play yet. This Houston game, like I said, is it kind of found its home really quick in terms of the total ticking up and also the, you know, the spread as well. Right now, I mean, like I said, we talked about how the early games work out for us well, because you get, you know, so much concentrated action so far. My feeling out there is it was might have been sharp money grabbing the 3 on Buffalo. Like I said, I didn't get, you know, in-house, I didn't get it right away. The Houston, too, this is a tough game to figure out, really, because you look at Houston, if their numbers offensively, when they have, like, Fuller, Hopkins and Stills all in the lineup, I mean, they're really, really, you know, I think going to present some matchup problems for Buffalo. But then you're looking at the running game of Houston. I mean, how much do you fear someone like Hyde beating you?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And again, I mean, this is an interesting one too, because Houston's defense is terrible. Buffalo's offense isn't great. Buffalo's defense is great. Can they move the football? And like you said, you know, this total going up a little bit. And, you know, just as a general observation here, not just with these games, but in general, it feels like we've had a lot of substantial totals movement in the second half of the season here. Less on sides, more on totals. Is that, you know, kind of a tip of the cap to you guys for having some really tight, really sharp numbers for sides? Or is it just that, you know, maybe there's just more value in totals overall in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, as things go on, you definitely do get a better feel for the, you know, the spread markets and the totals as well. You know, we've kind of, if you look at all these numbers, I mean, the playoff wise, everything's kind of been ticking up here. I mean, the Buffalo total opened 41.5, that's gone to 44. Tennessee, New England, same thing, was like an opener of 43 up to 44, 44.5 out there. Minnesota, same thing. We'll talk about that later. That one's ticked up to 49.5 and 50. So all these games have gone up except the Seattle one, when basically hasn't moved. So it's interesting that what we've seen so far, at least in the total movement, has all been towards the over, not the under.
All right, so the other game here on Saturday, game 143-144, Tennessee and New England. New England playing in the wild card weekend for the first time in a very long time. This one did tick down to 4.5 a little bit earlier on in the week. Now it's back up to 5, mostly market wide. And as you mentioned, the total inching up a little bit too.
Yeah, I took sharp money in-house on New England at 4.5, so I'll get that out of the way right away. It's interesting because there's so much, you know, the talk and the narrative with Tennessee and of course Tannehill. There's kind of like positive vibes out there. You've got Henry, you know, the punishing running game and stuff like that. AJ Brown, the receiver, all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of, you know, positive narratives that you out in the market about Tennessee. And when it comes to New England, you know, it's all negative. I mean, the second half of the season they finish like 4-4. You know, just like the Patriots finishing the second half 4-4, that you just unheard of, right? You're talking about the nagging injuries, the older team. Now they don't get the week off. I mean, you know, you don't tell me that Julian Edelman wouldn't love an extra week off and stuff like that. So, I think a lot of the narrative is what pulled this number down. Books did open New England -4.5, and it was actually trending towards Tennessee, like 4.5 dog 15. One of the bigger books out there open up, kind of known for taking a position to open up New England -5.5. Like that was okay. This is our number. We're digging in, and all the books kind of gravitated back towards somewhere in the middle, which is where we are right now at -5. So I wouldn't be surprised if this number ticked up to 5.5. So far in terms of count wise, I do have more bets on Tennessee. What do you count is about 2-1 on the Titans. So this is starting to look like a sharp and public split with a sharp money on New England and kind of being pulled back by the public money on Tennessee. I talked about how New England finished the second half 4-4, but I mean they lost to Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, and of course the disaster last week against Miami. And honestly, I think in terms of the opening number, I think that the loss last week to Miami is kind of like it's kind of like still fresh in people's minds.
I mean, outside of maybe a Super Bowl, I for the life of me cannot remember a sharp versus public split in a New England playoff game where the public is on the opposite side. Amazing.
I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say that's never happened. I might be wrong, but I can't see that having ever happened. We've always been loaded with Patriot money, and hopefully this time around we won't be.
My question here on this game is on the total, because I like the under. Not that I'm a sharp guy by any means, and I would never claim to be. I like the under a little bit here. Do you feel like this one comes back down a little bit, or probably not?
Probably not. I think 44.5 and 44 is probably where it's going to sit. Weather maybe could drag that down a bit. But, if you look at, both these teams and what they do well, I mean, I think Tannehill has kind of been pretty good versus pressure and stuff like that. But a lot of his numbers too, if you dig deep, they've gone against weaker pass defense and stuff like that. And that's one of those things as well with the Titans. You look at their numbers, you kind of have to look at their numbers, before Tannehill and after Tannehill and see where those things go. Obviously you figure they're going to have success running the ball. I mean, Henry's just been a great punishing guy, and A.J. Brown, obviously the threat too. So I think the numbers probably right out there. And New England, of course, Brady in playoffs, you kind of don't want to mess with him. And you look at Tennessee in terms of their secondary, of the teams in the playoffs, they've arguably, or I think statistically, probably have the worst secondary in the playoffs. So I really wouldn't want to mess with the under here.
So, I mean, it's interesting because in your breakdown here, you're kind of giving us a hybrid. You're giving us, the bet counts and what you've got there at the book. And you're also kind of giving us your handicap of the game a little bit. Do you use your handicap to kind of dig in and take a little bit of a position, or is this exclusively a situation where the money dictates what you do?
The money pretty much dictates what we do. I would say do well is that I have a good feel in terms of where the number is going to end up, and I kind of keep that in mind in terms of where my action is going to come and who we're going to need and stuff like that. So I you have to respect what's out there in the market, but you also have to have a good profile in terms of your own customer base in terms of managing that risk. And if you have a feel for where your guys are going to go and a good feel for where the market's going to go, you kind of get there faster. So that's kind of, I just put in my own input in terms of handicapping and stuff like that. I do look at stuff in terms of how I think team's going to move the ball and who's going to do what. A bit of analysis in terms of your offensive and defensive matchups and stuff like that. You look at situational things and stuff like that. So, the rest and teams who don't have rest, offensive versus defense matchup, we talked about the analysis. And then you also want to get your information in terms of injuries and stuff like that. So that plays into it more than anything else. I don't go as much into the narrative things in terms of like, New England's an old team. They needed the week off, all that kind of stuff. I don't, fall into that scope of handicapping as much.
All right. So we go over to Sunday here. We start in the NFC with game 145-146, Minnesota and New Orleans. This is a high number and a high total. Tell us what's going on with it.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers ticked up. You kind of expect public action to go over New Orleans games, even though, like, statistically, New Orleans has had a decent defense this season. But I did take sharp money on the over this game as well. So over 47 is where I got it here. I believe the initial lowest opening numbers out there were 46 and 46.5, which I think were just low numbers. Since getting hit at 47.5, I was 49 yesterday, 49.5 today. So I just get get a feeling from what I've seen so far, this number might hit 50. Spread, not much in terms of movement. 7.5 and 8 is pretty much done the job. No surprise that I've got a slight count favoring New Orleans with them at home. I do have a countable 5-1 favoring the over, so I got public money going that way as well. So count on New Orleans on the side, count on the over, which probably is no surprise at all. And I think, you know, this game sets up as well. You're talking about, you know, managing risk and stuff like that. It's interesting in the playoffs, especially when you get, you know, games like this where on one hand, you do kind of want to protect against the secondary markets. And you know, looking at this game right now, I can tell you I'm going to get a lot of teaser and parlay action on New Orleans, whether it's New Orleans on the money line or New Orleans and teasers. You know, people are going to bring that number down from 8 down to 1.5 or 1 or what have you. So they're going to take that number below 8 for teasers for sure. But you also have to look at the game action. I think the game action, I'm probably going to get some decent bets on Minnesota. I think the, you know, plus 8 is an attractive number for some of the, you know, the bigger bettors out there. So I think I'm going to have, you know, kind of two separate markets in terms of how I'm managing this one. The secondary markets in terms of parlays and teasers are going to be heavy on New Orleans, and I'm probably going to even out my straight bet action on this one.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to ask you about once we got to it, whether we talked about the next game or not, but there are three games that set up really nicely for teasers this weekend. Do you worry about that at all or not really? Because, you know, I mean, the bigger bets you're going to get are likely to be, you know, straight bets on the regular sides.
Yeah, I mean, you do worry about it, but you can't really, you know, hedge too much against it in terms of managing. Now this happens to be a number where, I mean, if you open up anything less than the touchdown or touchdown on New Orleans, it's just a number that's just too low. So you knew in terms of balancing action on the straights, you're going to have to be between 7.5 and 8 for sure. So it's decent for us right now in terms of getting two-way action. The early action, the bigger count that I took was at 7.5 and 7.5 with juice. But I just think this number is probably going to hang out where it is right now. And again, part of that is going to be due to secondary markets. I think sharper money is probably going to be on the Vikings here. I think this number is just a bit too big. And again, part of that is, you know, talk about the narratives in terms of the negativity with Cousins and stuff like that and not being able to win a primetime game and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's kind of what kept the number where it was and also kept the number on the total a bit lower. I think people are kind of reading too much into that, you know, where you get advantages and looking at Minnesota and stuff like that in this game is when you get more on, you know, the analysis and stuff like that in terms of, you know, how Minnesota is going to handle the pressure, where they succeed, you know, how Brees succeeds and stuff like that. And you know, you look at New Orleans and how they've had success, you know, with the passing game, and it's not, you know, typical Brees stuff. I mean, he is an older quarterback. He doesn't have as much success with the deep ball like he had before, but obviously he's very good at the short routes and stuff like that. So you can easily make a case for both these teams having success. And again, like I said, there's a lot of talk about Cousins, but you know that Cook is going to be ready to roll. And, you know, Cousins, of course, has a lot of weapons to go to as well. So I think things are going to set up well for him. And if Cousins, you know, where he succeeds as well is kind of like play action and rolling out of the pocket and stuff like that, which obviously, you know, gives his receivers more time to get open and get deeper as well. So I think Minnesota actually might be the team that has like the more explosive plays, and New Orleans, on the other hand, is kind of like TikTok the way down the field and score. So I kind of agree with this number. And again, I think it was just the negativity surrounding Cousins and a Cousins being primetime and Cousins being on the road, kind of holding this number low. But again, I mean, the turf in New Orleans obviously sets up for a faster paced game as well.
All right, so we're going to game 147, 148, the last one here of the wild card weekend. Seattle, a road favorite against Philadelphia. Road favorites in the wild card weekend, relatively rare, even though you expect the wild card teams to be pretty good usually. Not a lot of road favorites for wild card weekend, but we do have one here. Are we going to continue having one, or is there a chance that we get down, you know, maybe closer to pick 'em here?
Well, this game is it's messy, and it's messy mostly because of the Eagles side of things and because of the injuries that they've had. You know, they're just kind of generally disrespected in this case, even though they are the home team in this game. But you look at Seattle, and there's just, like, you know, a lot to like about Seattle in terms of Russell Wilson and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, these teams played, I think it was 6 weeks ago, and basically the exact same thing happened in terms of the line. Philadelphia opened up a small favorite. Seattle closed a small favorite as well. I think that was like a, if memory holds, I think it was like a 17-9 final, something like that. It was Rashad Penny game. I think Penny ran for a ton, like 125 yards or what have you. He broke out that game. And of course, Seattle had Penny. They had Carson. You know, they had I can't remember the backup running back, Procise, I guess it was, who's gone as well. And they're talking, you know, you look at the running backs right now. I think I don't know if they looked at Collins this week. Remember Collins from the Ravens? I think he came in this week as well. Lynch is there, of course. You know, so they're just a mess, I think, in terms of their running game. But really, the injuries on the Philadelphia side is where things get really messy. And I think that's kind of what's going to, if anything swings this number, it's going to be Philadelphia getting healthy. My count is about 5-1 favoring Seattle. So I got just a ton of money that way. I didn't get bet in-house. We opened this number Seattle 1, so it had already flipped. It flipped right away. So we opened 1. We're 1.5 right now. There were some 2s out there yesterday, so we were with the 2s. We kind of hang with the highest number just because the count is so one-sided on the Seahawks. I think Wentz, too, you were talking about the quarterbacks who are making their first playoff start and making them on the road. I think I heard, and I had to check this, that Wentz is making his first playoff start, and I was like, huh? And I went and searched Wentz's playoff stats, and he didn't have any. I'm thinking, oh yeah, it was Nick Foles' magic.
It was. It definitely was. appropriately named Big Dick Nick, I guess. I'm kind of astonished to hear it's 5-1 Seattle money. I mean, have we just not seen the Philadelphia money because of the injury report? I mean, do you think it's coming?
Well, I ask you, who are Philadelphia's starting wide receivers heading into this game as of today?
Me and you?
Yeah, I think it's
Greg
some,
Ward.
Some Ward. Ward, there Ward you go. The JJ?
No, he's hurt too, unless he comes back this week.
Whiteside, I think he's in.
Is he coming back this week?
I think he is. I think Davis is their other guy.
Sure.
I mean, like Aguilar's sideline. I don't think he's practiced yet. So I think, I'm not going to say he's definitely out, but he hasn't played for weeks. So I'm going to say he's likely out. Sanders, the running back, has ankle issues as well. Ertz, cracked ribs, lacerated kidney, I think. So, even if Ertz is okay, gets cleared in terms of his ribs, whether he gets cleared in terms of his kidney, I don't know. And the thing, too, with the Eagles, which I think is really key with both Sanders and Ertz, is that they've had a lot of success passing the ball. And people, you look at all the injuries and stuff like that and how they, the Eagles have had success recently. And, okay, they've had a pretty easy schedule. That's part of it. But they've thrown the ball a lot. They've done very well passing. But what they've done is they've passed out of the backfield to Sanders a lot and to Ertz as well. Now, I know the other tight end, Goddard, is not bad as well, so he fills in. But if they can have both those tight ends going and have Sanders, I think that information will be enough to flip this line or at least bring it back down to might be a pick. I could see that happening easily, but it's going to take that to bring this number back down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Brett and I are just joking here. We know who's going to be out there at wide receiver for Philadelphia, but, I mean, it's incredible, what they've gone through here. And the fact that, they haven't played the best of teams, but they've won 4 games in a row. So I'll be really intrigued to see what happens with this number, especially on Friday afternoon when we get more of a definitive injury report and have a better idea of who practiced and who didn't. That's going to be real interesting to see. And, again, obviously, like we already talked about, this one sets up for Philadelphia teasers if you want to take that shot. So you guys are going to be rooting for somebody to bust up a teaser here at some point.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia teasers, Houston teasers, Buffalo teasers and New Orleans are going to be big ones for us. And it's interesting, too, with Seattle, when you look at them as a road favorite now, because you always had this, years we've built up this perception of how successful they are at home and, the 12th man and all that kind of stuff. And so much has been made of it. But Seattle this year was 7-1 on the road, which is, that's really, really impressive. And here they are again. They're at Philadelphia again, and they've already won at Philadelphia now. We can go into how difficult it is to beat the same team twice on the road like that. You look how Philadelphia, they come in. I think they've won 4 in a row, but they beat the Giants, they beat Washington, Dallas, and Giants again. So, it's kind of take some of the shine off what they've done. But if you look at, numbers and stuff like that, and statistically speaking, Philadelphia, in terms of both rushing and passing efficiency, both offensively and defensively, they're like, top 10 in the league on both sides of the ball, which is really impressive and something that really surprised me when I found that out. I think the only other team that qualifies for that as well is the Saints. So that kind of was an eye opener for me, but I think in terms of the narrative, the information aspect of handicapping this game is going to be, going to be key in terms of what goes on with Sanders and Ertz.
Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, helping us out with this week's version of the odds report. Brent, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, have a great weekend, Adam. Thank you.